We're going to start a new series tonight. I'm very excited. It is in the book of Acts. And Acts is this amazing scripture. It is literally the continuation of the Gospels. As a matter of fact, you know, four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Luke wrote Acts as well, so he wrote one of the Gospels, and some people even refer to it as Luke-Acts, like it's one book with two volumes to it. So it's literally on the footsteps of the Gospels. And, you know, the stories are so amazing. They're extremely supernatural. You know, there's angelic visitations and visions and healings, and it's real. It's not just wouldn't it be great if. You know, sometimes we do that. We make up stories and, you know, say, you know, this is like a parable. This is wouldn't it be amazing if. But Acts is not a parable. Acts is how the church started. And, you know, sometimes we get our view of Acts gets a little skewed. Matter of fact, I found a picture that really kind of helps me illustrate this.
The apostles.
Isn't that amazing? It looks like these guys could help the Avengers in their next movie, doesn't it? If Spider-Man gets beat up, just call for these guys. Don't they look like, you know. And sometimes that's what we think. And I mean no disreverence, because these men followed Jesus. And they led after they followed him. But sometimes we kind of get this idea that, you know, everybody's got their own halo. You know, they're just endued with all this amazing power. And they have absolutely nothing to do with people like us. That's a dangerous view when you read Acts, because Acts is here. It's in the Bible for a reason. And it's not just to tell us about, you know, X-Men class one, you know. It's not about just these amazing people with incredible powers and, you know, God did that, so, you know, read about it. Acts has a real purpose, a purpose for today. And as we study it, we'll see that. I've actually called this series, and see there, Acts the Selection. And one reason I call it selection is because we will not be studying it verse by verse, every single verse, although we're going to start with the very beginning, the first 11 verses tonight. One, because with what little I know, that would take years to get through. And we want to, you know, move around the Bible a little more than that. But two, Acts is a selection. And as if we study it properly, I don't think we have to go through every verse to equip you to study it properly. So we're going to study certain stories from the book of Acts. Individuals, their stories, their lives, how they interacted with the Holy Spirit in the hope of learning something that we can draw from that. And how we can interact with the Holy Spirit today. But again, you know, I'll get it back to the Avengers there for you. What is Acts? What is the purpose? You know, if you read in the front part of your Bible, you know, if you read on page chapter 1, verse 1 of Acts, it says Acts of the Apostles. But you know, not every apostle is mentioned by name. So this is not just everything they did. There's a lot of people, as we go through the study, we will read about people who were not apostles. You know, they didn't, but their story is in this book. And the Acts of the Apostles is certainly not everything that everybody did. Because, well, on the day of Pentecost, thousands were added. And a little bit later, thousands more were added. And this is just handpicked stories from all those people. So it's not everything the apostles did. It's not everything the early church did. But they are stories to teach us. And that should kind of perk our hearts up when we start to read, because there's a purpose. You know, if I can go back to my childhood for a little bit. There were some men in my life when I was a boy who just liked to talk. And they would. And they would talk about anything. They would tell stories, usually to get a laugh but they would talk and talk. But there was one gentleman that I actually lived next door to him. And he never told a story without a reason. And he always told stories. But rather than saying, "Steve, I want to teach you about being honest." Because, you know, at 6 years old, you need those kind of lessons. He would tell me a story about how maybe a little boy who was about 6 years old wasn't honest and got into a lot of trouble. Or maybe better would be a story about a six-year-old who told the truth and good things happened to him. But he always had a purpose. And looking back, those stories were different. Acts is not God saying, "Well, you know, Paul is coming, and man, he's just lesson after lesson after lesson. So let me give you a break. Here's some neat stories from way back." That is not Acts. Acts is on purpose. Amen. Are you ready? So this study is going to focus on lives in Acts. Stories of people's lives in Acts. And the first one, our story tonight, is the most extraordinary of all, because it's about Jesus. Jesus Christ. Because Acts 1 opens with him. Let's read. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his sufferings, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God." Now, as we open this up, first off, we'll just mention Theophilus because he's in there. We don't really know historically who Theophilus was. Back in this time, you know, books were written by hand on parchment. And if you had to research, if you had to travel, if you had to do for the writing of a book, for the buying of the ink and the paper, you know, it wasn't like today. You can go around, you can make two turns here and you can buy 500 sheets of paper and ink pen for just, you know, 50 dirham or something, or 100 dirham. Back then, the process of writing something was expensive. And the process of researching. So a lot of times books had a patron. So it's possible that Theophilus and Luke realized, hey, there's a need for the story to be recorded. And Theophilus may have paid for it. Another possibility is just, you know, Luke was a physician. He's probably a man of some means. And maybe Theophilus was someone dear to him. And he wrote it for him first, and then for the rest of us, as the Holy Spirit inspired him. We really don't know. But that's Theophilus. Possibly he was I kind of like to think that he was a partner in getting this message to us, that he gave so that the world could have this. And then don't miss, there's a few words here. Don't miss this word began. It's easier to see it there. All that Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, the physical person of the Lord Jesus Christ is not in this book past halfway through the first chapter. Okay, Jesus, this is not a gospel where Jesus is walking and talking and teaching and eating and doing healings and miracles. We cover Jesus in the first 11 verses and then physically he is gone. But this is what he began to do and teach until the day. There's a continuation. You know, people have talked about, you know, fivefold ministry. And that's in Acts. And it's not called fivefold ministry. There's a real strong implication that really there's one ministry. That's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives gifts and he gives abilities and he has vision for people to do things. But if there is one Lord and there is one church, in one very real sense, there is one ministry. Amen. This is what Jesus began to do and to teach. And look at how Luke fixes this in time. Okay? He began to do and to teach until the day that he was taken into heaven. After giving the instruction through the Holy Spirit to the apostles, after his suffering, he presented himself to them for a period of 40 days. There is nothing like a parable to this. After giving instruction through the Holy Spirit, this, you remember back in the Gospels, Jesus said, I'm going away, but that's good news for you. Can you imagine being one of 12 people that literally walked with Jesus? Like, if you weren't paying attention and Jesus stopped, you'd run into him. Walked with Jesus, listened to him preach, listened to him talk at meals, watched how he interacted with people, and Jesus said, I'm going away, and that's good news for you. How? Because if I go away, I will send you another comforter, an advocate, someone just like me who will always be with you. The disciples were together with Jesus almost all the time. Sometimes he'd send them out to do something, but most of the time they were with him. But when Jesus was here, if he took Peter and John and went to Marrakesh, the 10 of us left in Tangier were without Jesus. And that's not hard to figure out, right? I mean, you know, you're like that, I'm like that. Nobody is here and in Portugal tonight. Nobody. Nobody in this room is also in Scandinavia. Nope, you are here. That's all you are. You are here. The only place you are right now. Well, when Jesus was on the earth, he had limited himself that way. The Holy Spirit came. If you go to Marrakesh or Madrid or Madagascar, and we're here, Holy Spirit goes with you, Holy Spirit stays here with us. Amen. Better. But this is fixed. This is real. In time. This is not once upon a time stuff. After Jesus had done this, after he had suffered the death on the cross, after that, this is his life. Because there was something after the death on the cross. When I got this picture, I did a Google search, you know, my associate pastor Google. I did this search because I wanted a picture of Jesus to put up there tonight. And it was amazing how many he's on the cross. And others, he's got the crown of thorns on his head. But Acts is the story of the life of Jesus after the cross. There's life after the cross. Now, he was God always before. He didn't add something to his person after the cross. But he took on a different role after the cross. And so many times, I think, in our thinking, because we're natural people, we tend to picture Jesus a certain way. You know, we just came from Christmas. He's in a manger. He's a little helpless baby in a manger, so sweet and innocent. Or we picture him as our sacrifice. You know, at Easter, he's on the cross. He paid the price. But there's life after that cross. He came alive again. Amen. He was resurrected. That's more than just life. You know, Jesus raised people from the dead. They lived a bit longer and they died again. He was resurrected. He's not dying again. Amen. Hallelujah. Real time. So let's zoom back here. Carry on just a little bit more and we'll talk about some of these things. On one occasion, now we have to stop here. He's a period of 40 days, and we don't have everything written in those 40 days. But during a 40-day period after the resurrection, every now and then Jesus appears to his disciples. This is one account, okay? On one occasion, while they were eating with them, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized, with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Jesus commands them to wait, again, for something specific. And to be empowered, it's really important to see here that they're going to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. They're going to be baptized. You know, today we think of baptism, depending on your tradition, it's either sprinkling with water or it's going down into water and coming up again. The actual word baptism, and people still use the word baptized today, baptism means to be immersed in. So really, to sprinkle and be baptized, you'd have to be really small. And I realize certain traditions do that, and it's fine. I'm not really preaching against that. But literally, baptize means to go down into, like when you've seen people water baptized and they're completely underwater. There's no part of them. There's not, you know, the wet part and the dry part. You're just all in. Baptized in Holy Spirit. There's not a part that's kind of spiritual and that other part that's there Monday through Friday. It's all in. Okay? So on this occasion, Jesus commands them to do this. Now, the disciples, you remember the guys, you know, the Avengers? This is actually what they were really about. Okay? They said, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? In other words, let's overthrow the Roman Empire. And there's 12 of us, we have two swords, right? Hey! They didn't get it. Jesus died and rose again. He has the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He is something that's never existed before, in that he has a human body, but it's glorified. And he walks through walls, and he's teaching truth. And these guys want to form a political party. Yeah. There is hope for us at TIPC. They don't get it. They're confused. They don't understand the plan of God. But I loved, you know, Jesus never stops loving. Look at his response to this. He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Now, what Jesus did is, you know, the disciples were wanting to charge down this path. You know, Romans are godless pagans. We're going to reclaim our country. We're going to set up a holy kingdom. And Jesus just got, not this road. come here. The Holy Spirit is going to empower you. Now, when you're wanting to be the vice chairman of a political party, that's not registering at that moment, but they did okay. They got through. The message got through. He says, come over here. Go on this path. I want you to be my witnesses. I want you to be. You know, if Jesus said, I want you to paint the wall, that does not necessarily make you anything. That just gives you a job to do. I have painted walls. I am not a painter. You probably do not want me to paint your wall. I paint my wall. I paint your wall. I paint my shirt. It all gets done when I paint a wall. It's not pretty. But Jesus was not calling them to go do. He's saying, come here, come here. This is a path. I want you to go be my witnesses. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you. He's going to empower you. And you're going to be my witnesses. Your transformed life, they didn't understand this at the moment, but your life transformed because there's life after the suffering. There's life after the cross. It is going to be a witness that I'm alive. And the words you speak, the Holy Spirit will confirm them and convict people. And your words will be, but you're going to be a witness. He did not tell them, the Holy Spirit's going to come on you, and then I want you to go witnessing. I want you to write witnessing books, have witnessing programs, print witnessing publications, witness, witness, witness. He said, God is coming on you. Life is coming in you to make you something. So that's different. Steve goes and he paints a wall, and that's a task. But there are people who are painters. And not only do they paint the wall better than I paint the wall, they love painting the wall. They find enjoyment. I think it's the fumes. I don't know, but they find enjoyment in pain. I'm kidding. There are people who, you know, I knew a guy, professional painter. I've known several guys. And they look at it and it's just joy to them. And I look at it and think, thank God I'm done. But I'm not a painter. If you're a painter, you get that. God is calling us to be, not just do. Oh, I need to do more. I need to do no. You know, if you're a person that tends to get bogged down in that, oh, I need to do more. I got to do, got to be, got to do, got to do, got to stop and be. Let God change you. Because it's not about how many people you talk to or how many deeds you do. I mean, God wants to, God will use you. There's no doubt about that. But it's not just works. It's life. Does that make sense? It was radically different. Basically, Jesus pulled them off a road of action and progress and success by any worldly standard. Because, yeah, I mean, politics is natural. They had politics then, we have politics today. Things were a mess then, things are a mess today in the world. But this idea that, you know, we know what to do, let's go do something. And Jesus just kind of gently urged them. He didn't drag them. I might have dragged them. It's a good thing I'm not Jesus. And he gets them over here saying, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be my witnesses. Holy Spirit's going to empower you. In Jerusalem, that's where their feet were. That's where they are right now. Samaria. All othermost parts, wherever you go. You don't have to be in a certain holy city to be holy. You don't have to be in a certain environment where everything fits you to follow me. Just let the Holy Spirit change you, and you will be. You know, that's the great thing about a witness. A witness is like a sign. You know, if you have a sign and it says Rabat, 25 Ks, okay? There are all kinds of roads you could put that sign on. But you know where you don't need that sign? Centerville, Rabat. Not necessary there. Rabat, 25 Ks, is not necessary if you're at the Ministry of Justice in Rabat. Doesn't make any sense there. A witness isn't always in the best, most conducive environment. It's just pointing. Jesus is my peace. And it's not saying what you got is wrong and what you got is... No, just Jesus is my peace. He's changed my life. He lives inside of me. Being, hallelujah. People talk about debating. I guess some people are called to do that. I don't. I don't need to fight you about what you have. I just know what I have. Jesus changed my life. Jesus is changing my life. Be a witness. Amen. Is that all right? So I love the fact that Jesus gave them no other focus. Everyone, everywhere, Jesus. The Holy Spirit would empower them. He would breathe in them. He would express himself through them. And in this, it comes down to Jesus. Jesus. We are bound to Jesus. And I love it. Because it's not a restriction. It's life-giving. You know, we went through 1 Peter and we looked at, you know, how hope and holiness and how everything in life, you know, God did not give us a program and say, go do it. If you do this, it'll change you. He gave us truth and he said, walk with me. The author of truth gives us truth and says, walk with me. And be transformed while you walk with me. As you live, when you get up in the morning and you're talking to me because I'm with you, living with you, in you. It's glorious. And it's all about a life starting now, going on through eternity with God, because God chose to walk with you. That stops the noise. I think God chose you to walk with you forever. He's never going to get tired and say, you know what? Check you later. You know, family, you do that sometimes. I love my family, but I do live 4,000 miles away from them. Yeah, I've got brothers that I dearly love, and after about 8-10 hours, I'm just going to go get a coffee somewhere else. I love them, but God said, you know what? I'm here. And he set this thing up to where, you know, if you do it right, if you're really walking, if you're really a disciple, it means you're walking with him. You know, And as we get into the book of Acts, we start reading about this thing called full of the Holy Spirit, which has all kinds of interesting implications. If you can be full of something, does that mean you can be half full? If you can be full, it certainly means you could be empty. Well, that's all kinds of interesting things we'll get to later. But this, and again, I know that's kind of I kind of like it. It's just kind of a weird picture. One of the many images of Jesus you can find online with my associate Google. But it's about walking with him, following him, letting him call the shots, and you living and loving his presence. Amen. Let's go on just a little bit further here. After he said this, he was taken up before them. He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. And they were looking intently into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." Amen. So Jesus is speaking, he is talking, and then suddenly he's going. And apparently, you know, they say before their very eyes, they watched it. It wasn't like, and he's gone. I mean, they until the clouds hid him from view, and they're still. And two men in white, angels, said, "I'm still kind of having to lead them by the hands. You know, we are not up to the Avenger apostles yet. Just trying to lead them a little bit here, saying, men of Galilee, what are you doing?" I think I've heard the Spirit of God say that a time or two. "Hey, Steve, what are you doing?" I don't know. The same Jesus that preached Sermon on the Mount, same Jesus that sacrificed his physical body on the cross, same Jesus that rose, came out of that tomb, same Jesus that ascended, same Jesus coming back. Amen. And when he does, the kingdom will be fulfilled. Now, he introduced the kingdom, didn't he? The kingdom of God, we talked about that. I won't go into details tonight. We need to wrap up. But he introduced the kingdom. He is the king. He brought the kingdom. And it happens in you. And it happens in me. And when we live out his life, it happens in this earth. And there is this expansive thing. There is this glorious thing. There is this kingdom expanding, but it happens through the Holy Spirit living through us. See, Jesus took on a new role in the book of Acts, head of the church. Now, it doesn't mean that he's more powerful, because he's God. He started at the time. But there was no church. And in Acts, we see him as the head of the church. And the disciples, you know, I've called them apostles a lot tonight. In the book of Luke, the word apostle is used 5 times. In the book of Acts, the word apostle is used 35 times. They changed positions. Amen. Because Jesus committed into their hands what they were to do. And not as superheroes, but as normal human beings with God living inside of them. And off they go. And as we read about these lives, what we're going to find is there are people who take that life. You know, we talk about eternal life. We talk about new life. It's God's life in you. And it's, you know, Right. If you take a natural human being, you take the life out of them, what happens to them? They're dead. No coming back. One way street. Dead. God puts his life into us so that the world can see. Well, one, for us, because you need it. I need it. If you don't have the life of God spiritually, you are dead. But there is life in you if you've received Jesus. He wants you not just, that's not just for you. It is for you, but it's beyond you. Because he wants the world to see, just to be his witness. It doesn't mean you don't have to get into a taxi tomorrow and tell the taxi driver, you know, Romans Road and John 3:16, and that's not what he called you to do. But your presence ought to speak Jesus to people. Because he's there. You know, funny story from my childhood. I have that one aunt, you know, that like the aunt you have, the aunt that you really don't want to come visit you here and bring her to church. You know that aunt? You have that aunt? Yes. Okay, we know it's that aunt. That aunt that we're a little bit embarrassed about. She came to our home one day, and my brothers and I were being ornery. Now, I'm going to say this because my brothers aren't here, and it's my church, and I get to tell it my way. My brothers are 15 and 13 years older than me. So when I say we're doing this, you know, I'm 6, they're 19 and 21 years old, okay? But we hid. We hid. We got into a closet because that aunt was there, and she like pinches your cheeks and goes on and on. So mom doesn't know what happened to us. We're just gone. But we're in the house. And it was wintertime. And my aunt had a coat on, and mom took her coat. You know where this is going, don't you? And mom opens the closet door. There all three of us stand. And mom screamed because we didn't make a habit of standing in the closet. And of course, her first question is, "What are you doing in there?" I was 6. I didn't have to answer. I let my brothers take care of that. But we were in the house, but we were hiding. Sometimes we try to do that with the Holy Spirit. He's in there, but you know, we got him in a closet. You know, you know, I'm just a good person. Hallelujah. I'm a business person here. I'm just, you know. Because, you know, God is for Sunday night when we go to church. He wants to breathe with you. He wants to go to Marrakesh with you. He wants to go to the Hanout with you. He wants to walk the streets of Tangier with you and converse with you. He wants you to follow him. Amen. The same Jesus. We know Jesus did many great things, and we know that this book, as we study it, the lives in it were selected for our understanding of what the kingdom of God is like and how we should be examples of an ever-expanding kingdom. But I want to bring you back to true truths tonight that we've heard and that I want us to act on beginning here but through this week. First off, that he's alive. So often we get into our minds the suffering Jesus. And he did suffer horrendously. Or the crucified Jesus. And he was crucified. He died at that place called Golgotha. And he was buried in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And there's life after his cross. And there's life after our crosses. You know, so many times we think and we've embraced that truth that you take up your cross daily, follow Jesus. There's life after the cross. We are dying to certain things in our lives continually, pride and arrogance and selfishness. But those things, we're in a really true sense of the word, we're dying to death. It's another way of saying we're coming alive. I mean, if you really die, really die to selfishness, are you more dead or more alive? You're more alive. You've got more. You see a much bigger world if you're not selfish. If you die to doubts, certain doubts in your life, you're more alive. So we take up a cross daily to live. It's one of those great ironies of the gospel. We die to live. We take up a cross daily to live. He reigns, so we serve. You know, the word Lord, not much in the Gospels, all over the book of Acts. Lord means ruler. No one in church history ever became so pure, so holy, so obedient that they called him Lord. No, that's not connected. That's like saying, you know, her hair was so long, she got a computer. Those things don't connect. What do you mean? Lord has to do with power. Lord has to do with ruling. He is Lord. So we serve Him. And we reign with Him. Again, the gospel is completely connected to Jesus. It's not something He gave us. It is life with Him. That's the gospel. And so, if He's alive, so should we be. Alive. And if He's reigning, we should be serving Him. Not our flesh, not sin, not something else. We should be serving Him. So, I just want to challenge you in a moment of prayer, ending 2 minutes late tonight. In this time, as we close our eyes, as we reflect with God and just be in His presence, are you alive in Him tonight? I know your heart's beating, your brain's functioning, you know, your body's working. You're alive that way. But is your life melded with His? Are you alive to Him? Are you aware of His presence? That begins when you commit your life to Him. But it happens every hour, every minute of every day as you continue to follow Him. And I just want to encourage you, if you haven't tonight, commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when you do that, He commits His life to you. It's a standing invitation. And I also want to encourage you tonight, if you follow Jesus, but you're pretty much calling your own shots, making your own decisions, He wants to make your decisions. He'll make good ones. He'll shape you into His image if you'll let Him. So I'm going to pray for us, and I'm just going to ask, no one else is looking around, but I'm going to look around the room and see if you want to commit your life to Him for the first time. Commit your life to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you raise your hand right now, I want to pray for you. Bless you. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, you see the hearts in this room. You see the hands in this room. And tonight, Father, as we're in Your presence, amazed at the work that Jesus has done, amazed at the work the Holy Spirit is continuing in the earth today, we want to rededicate our lives. We want to give our lives into Your hands to follow You and to live through You and to be shaped by Your truth and Your life. Lord, here we are. This week, when we would do something a certain way, remind us, interrupt us, shape us. reign in our lives. Be our boss. Be our decision maker. You call our decisions and we will serve you. We will follow what you say. You are our Lord. Let's just say that together. You are our Lord. One more time. You are our Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.